just been singing, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Wonderful, wonderful truth. The Apostle Paul, at the start of Galatians chapter 5, writes this, verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Christianity, dear friends, is about being set free. Listen to these wonderful scriptures. Psalm 118. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. If you're in distress this morning, then listen to this. You can call on the Lord. And it said, the Lord answered and set me free. Psalm 18. He rescued me from my strong enemy. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm 119, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. John 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed, Jesus says later in John 8. Romans 8, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Last one, 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Is God here by his Spirit today? Yes, he is. There is freedom on offer here today to rest in again, or I pray for some of us to embrace and know for the first time freedom in Jesus through the Holy Spirit, to come back to the Father, to be free, to break free from that which would bind us. What are those things for you? What are the things that week by week, month by month, maybe for some of you year by year, what are those things that constrain and hinder and leave you feeling crumpled up a little bit? Maybe the sin and shame that plagues us. Feelings of inadequacy we have. Fears for the future we might have. The frailties and the discord that surround us that we know shouldn't be the way it is, but it just is so often. God is a God who can lead us out from that sort of captivity, or whatever captivity, tension, and difficulty you're facing. He gathers us together. He doesn't just do that alone, but he gathers us together as a people, and together in community with others, he can lead us out from that place of fear and captivity into his promised land, the place of wholesomeness and blessing and goodness. This is our God. You know, just through the scriptures, just God continually reminds his people, do you remember how I led you out of Egypt with a strong arm and mighty outstretched hand? Do you remember how I did that? Remember, this is who I am. I am a God who leads you out of captivity to my place of blessing. Dear friends, this is a freedom that we can know even now this morning, in part. And it is a freedom which one day, will be fully known in God's time. What a wonderful thing, right? What a beautiful thing that God is a God who sets us free, who invites us into the, as the psalmist puts it, the broad place. You love those verses in Psalm 18. It says, God brings us into the broad place. And then I love that Psalm 119, he says, the psalmist writes, I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. I've sought your truth. I've sought what you want me to know. Some of you, I pray, are in that place today. You're seeking his precepts, his commands, his truth, his word just for you. And the psalmist says, God does it. God brings me out into the broad place. And then, you know, while in that place, we can walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts. Wasn't it just wonderful to hear our brother testify to this morning, how he once thought that God was out to get him, that God was a God who was seeking to trip him up and catch him out and punish him, but now he knows that that's not what God is like. Now he knows, and he even quoted verses to prove it, that God is a God of forgiveness. And then did you hear how our brother said that knowing that forgiveness then propels us outwards to show that same love and forgiveness to those that we come into contact with? You see, God's freedom doesn't just affect us, and then that's the end of the story. That's not how it works, but God's freedom flows through us to others. So back to Galatians. For freedom, verse 1 of chapter 5, for freedom, Christ has set us free. But that's not all Paul says about that freedom. He immediately follows it up with a challenge where he says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So there is this objective reality that is communicated here, that those who are in Christ have been set free by him to live in freedom that Christ has won for us. And then there's the exhortation that Paul gives off the back of that. Then stand firm in that. Don't fall back to this slavery. Stand firm. He's saying, you know, we will experience pressure just in daily life to fall back into our former ways, but be strong. Paul is writing to the Galatians, be strong and don't fall back. Live in the freedom that God has won for you. So my question this morning is, what will you do with the freedom that God has granted you? If you are able to, maybe throughout this morning, to say, I know that Jesus is my Savior, and I know that for freedom, Christ has, past tense, objective reality, he has set me free. What will you do with that freedom? We're going through a little series just now, looking at our membership covenant. These are commitments that we, I hope, gladly aspire to together, as we think about how we relate together in the church as brothers and sisters in this family of faith. And today, Scott's right, sorry, I didn't let him know, but today we're looking at this word, serve. And it says there, if you have a notice sheet, you can read a little spiel it says about serve, or you can check it out on the website. It says this under that. It says that we will, with God's help, we will serve. God has given each of us a unique role to play in his church. We will seek to find out what that is, and we'll join in his work with joy and gratitude. Now you can maybe see from that why I use words, language of that these are things that we want to aspire to. These are commitments that we hope to aspire to together, because when you think of service, when you think of serving in some way, you maybe don't think of joy and gratitude, as is mentioned there in the membership covenant. If I said to you, I have arranged for you to have an extra day off next week. I've sorted it out with your employer. I've made sure that you're not going to get docked any pay. You will have this extra day off. And in the freedom of that extra day off, I am inviting you to spend the day serving me. maybe some of you wouldn't look towards that day with joy and gladness. And you'd be quite right not to. That would be very understandable if that was your reaction. But when we think about serving God, we should pray for a disposition of joy and gladness as we think about connecting in with God's work. When we're talking about doing God's work in His church, when we're talking about allowing the power of God to flow through us so that He can be at work in this world around about us, then yes, we should want to choose to seek to find out ways that we can join in that work with great joy and thanksgiving and gratitude. Let me just give you a whistle-stop tour of some of the key passages in the New Testament which explain this aspect of serving in God's church. So 1 Corinthians 12, we have this passage we looked at maybe a month ago or so, which is an incredible passage which explains how the many parts of the body fit together to make up the body of Christ. And it says there that we all have a part to play and that we are all important in the job that we've been called to. We're all worthy of honor, maybe especially the parts that naturally in our culture we might look down on and think, oh, those are less important than some jobs. God says, no, those parts are worthy of extra honor. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12 how God has freely given these gifts and He empowers each and every one of those gifts that He has given to His church by the Holy Spirit. You get that? The Holy Spirit comes into your life, God Himself, and fills you with what you need to do His work. You read about Jesus in the Gospels. You remember Jesus says, you're going to do even better things than I have. That's because together, God comes into every single one of us, and together we can do wonderful things through His power. In Ephesians 4, we hear how all the saints, that is, those who are followers of Jesus, all the saints are called to the work of ministry. I preached a message here once which tried to make the case that every Christian should consider themselves as a full-time minister. You are a full-time minister. You are all to contribute to the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. How will Hillview Community Church become what it needs to be? Because God will empower you, along with your brothers and sisters, to build up this body. Wow. In 1 Peter 4, Peter reminds us that Jesus is coming back one day. There's a sense of urgency again. Don't just sit on this stuff, guys. If you're not connected into a local church, Jesus is coming back. 1 Peter 4 makes very clear. So we should use the gifts that God has given us, loving one another so that God will be glorified. Do you see what you're called to? To build up the church and to glorify God in service. In Romans chapter 12, we are reminded how part of our worship is to offer ourselves to God. More than just coming here week by week, which is wonderful and a huge privilege and joy to come and sing and worship God together. But part of our worship is to offer ourselves, our bodies. So it's that tangible. Offer your hands and your mouths and your feet to do things as a living sacrifice, as part of our worship to God. And using those gifts, we are to, it says in Romans 12, we're to be devoted to one another. It says we're to be full of zeal and fervor as we serve God. In 1 Corinthians 15, we are told to, quote, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. In Philippians 4, we're told that God will supply all our needs together. He will supply all our needs as we think about this service that we are called into. He will not leave us short in this church of any resource that we need to fulfill the purposes that He has for us. He will supply all our needs in Christ Jesus. And in our passage in Galatians 5, we're told that all of this this participation in God's work, this service, this blessing and love that we are to share in together, all of this happens because we are free, because of this freedom that we have. So again, Paul writes in verse 1, "For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." He then spends a couple of paragraphs in Galatians 5 getting angry at the Galatian church for ways that they have walked away from this freedom, ways that they've fallen back into religious slavery, a bunch of issues that they were struggling with. And then he says in verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You were called to freedom, so serve one another. Love one another. Not because you must, not as some sort of duty or chore, but because you can. You can. You're able to. You can serve him because God has set us free from the selfishness and the purposelessness which enslaves us naturally, week by week, as we fall back into the same struggles, the same issues right before our face, which hamper us from seeing the bigger picture of what God is doing as his kingdom is coming. Because God has set us free from whatever would bind us, we are then released into God glorifying, others loving freedom for which we were created. You see, this is who we were made to be. We were made to naturally want to glorify God. We were made to naturally want to participate with him in his work, bringing his peace, his hope to a world much in need. Are you using your freedom in Christ to serve others, to share in God's work? God has so much to do here in Aberdeen and around the world. There's so many ways that we can celebrate how God is at work among us. And yet we must always just believe. We must pray for a mindset which says, this is just the beginning. This is just the, God will grant us our daily bread for today. And tomorrow he's going to call us to take those steps forward again. He has so much work that he wants to do in Aberdeen. His light to shine in the darkness. His life to come for those who are numb, those who are spiritually dead. His hope to be spread, his care to be extended, his compassion to be shared. Nothing is more important than God being seen for who he truly is and embraced for who he is as his work continues throughout the world. Nothing is more important than that. And the amazing thing is, we get to participate in that work. Indeed, he has ordained that we are the primary means by which this work takes place as his Spirit empowers the church. And as we've been thinking today, God just does it despite ourselves, right? I mean, what did we do to bring about this incredible miracle that has happened in our brother's life? Like nothing, right? And yet, in one sense, everything. Our brother has been drawn in to this family of faith, and God has used so many of you to speak his truth and his love into his life. But really, it's God's work, right? But we get to be a part of it. What a thrill. What a thrill. And here's the wonderful thing. This service happens, this service that we're called to, happens in our communities, in our workplaces, among our friends and our families. This happens as God has placed you wherever he has placed you through the week. This is how we are to conceive of our service to him. Some of the service that you have to God might be through joining a rota on this church for an activity through the week or on a Sunday. We definitely need that aspect of serving one another for God's glory. But much of your service that he is calling you to will happen just from Monday to Saturday, as he has placed you strategically with your makeup, your personality, your skills throughout the week as you shine his light. You're free to serve, free to show God's love. So dear friends, don't fall back into patterns of slavery of things to this world. Are you a slave to your calendar? Are you a slave to your family? Are you a slave to your employer? Are you a slave to your fears? Are you a slave to your personality inclinations? Or are you living in the freedom that God has won for you? That can only come as we day by day remind ourselves of who we are in Christ, remind ourselves of the Father's love and affection towards us, remind ourselves that we're not on our own, but we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit, who day by day can work a miracle in my life and in your life to set us free from that which would hold us back. Walk in a broad space this week. Bring God's kingdom as you walk in the spacious, broad place. As we turn now to bread and juice, we just have to remind ourselves, all we're doing as we think about serving, all we're doing is following Jesus. You know, you talk about serving God with joy and gladness. We're just following Jesus, dear friends. That's what we've seen so far in this little series. Have you spotted that? So we talked about gathering together. You talk about gathering with other people, spending time with people, pointing them to the glory and goodness of God for their good. We're just following Jesus in that. Last week's sermon, talk about submitting to God, laying our lives before God, asking him to overrule, him to work, rather than always pushing for our agenda. We're just following Jesus in that, who laid down his life. That was the Philippians 2 passage from last week. And here, as we think about freely serving others for the glory of God, for the coming of God's kingdom reign of peace and righteousness, we're just following Jesus. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We're just following Jesus. And now we have this chance just to remind ourselves again of that truth, that we come and we follow Jesus. We remind ourselves that our identity is in him. We remember his body given for us. We remember his blood shed for us. We remind ourselves, we find hope, I pray, this morning, that through his death on the cross, he did away once and for all with our captivity to selfishness and to hopelessness. He's dealt with it. And we remind ourselves again that in his life and his resurrection, we can know the freedom of joyfully serving God and serving others, even today and tomorrow and in this week. So I invite you in this time as we close in worship to come again to Jesus. Taste and receive of his life again. Here at Hillview, this is what we call an open table, which means that you don't have to be a member of this church to participate. You just have to really know what you're doing and to love Jesus. This is a sign that you participate in what Jesus has won and achieved for you. So if you love Jesus, if you want to love him more, then come and take a little bit of bread and drink a little cup of juice, remembering his body and his blood. Receive of his life again and follow him in serving God and serving others, even here in this place for this time. He has a plan for you. What a wonderful thing. Let's take a moment in quiet. And then the way we're going to do it today is I'm going to ask Scott to stand here and Dan's going to stand here and just hold a little plate and bread and juice. And as and when and if you're ready, as we worship, just going to invite you to come forward. It's that act of purposeful dedication again to God. Just take a little bit of bread, a little bit of juice, and just remind ourselves that we're alive in him and that he has done everything we need to serve his purposes. Let's pray. We'll just take a moment in quiet. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to reveal to us the wonderful blessing there is, hope that there is, as we remember Jesus. We remember his body given, his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Meet us here now. Father, we thank you for not giving up on us. But we thank you for sending your Son, who gladly came not to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom, to pay the penalty, to pay the price that would set us free from captivity. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice. Thank you for enduring the cross. Thank you for dying in our place. I pray that now as we come and remember that wonderful sacrifice, that we would not turn away from the gift you have given us by paying that ransom, but that we would step forward into the freedom that you have won for us. And that we would be free to serve you, to serve others. Holy Spirit, minister among us now, we pray. Draw us in. I just pray especially for any here who are not sure if they belong to you. I pray that the Father's love would rest heavy on them at this time. That beautiful sense of your closeness, and that they would walk forward to accept Jesus, even in this act of taking bread and juice this morning. Whether we're coming to you for the millionth time or the first, be glorified now as we receive of what you've given us. We give you this time, in Jesus' name. So just whenever you're ready, as we worship and sing, come forward and receive in Jesus' name.